This morning, I want to begin the year by exploring what it means to be entrusted with God's gifts, his time, talents, and treasures, and the gospel, most often referred to as stewardship. And I know the church, you probably love this topic. It's the beginning of the year, and yes, here we go. We're starting to talk about stewardship. But Peter helps us position, I think Peter helps us position our hearts in a really good place. He helps us to align our hearts in a really good place as we look at the idea and the aspect and the teaching of theology. First Peter, if you have your Bibles with, you can turn to First Peter chapter 4, and I'm just going to read verses 8 to 11. First Peter chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. I just want to stop here for a moment, because there's a couple of things that grab our attention. Because Peter starts this portion of Scripture with above all. Above all, the most important thing. The most important part of living in a world where we are going to face, and we do face, all kinds of trouble, all kinds of sorrow, all kinds of trials and hardship, above all else. And then he goes on to say, he says, keep fervent in your love for one another. Above, this is the most, church, this is the most, he was speaking to his audience, and he was saying, above all else, church. And so today, to us, above all else, church, keep fervent in your love for one another. Why is that the most important thing? Because true friendship love, that's what called agape love for one another, makes us kind to his or her imperfections. When we love somebody dearly, when we love somebody closely, love overlooks our faults. Love overlooks our weaknesses. Love overlooks the things that are maybe annoy us. Love does that. And so he's saying, above all else, love each other fervently. And this is going to go a long way in stewardship. Let's keep reading verse 9, because now he's talking about stewardship. Above all else, love. And then he says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. How do you serve one another without love? That's why he's saying, above all. Then he says, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the key or foundational passage as we go into this series. And again, I'm aware that talking about stewardship often makes us uncomfortable. And you may think that the reason for preaching on this topic is because the church needs more money. Or maybe the church needs you to do more. And so you're right away, your back is up, and I get it, because, well, maybe we're going to be called to do more or guilted into serving more. However, preaching a series on stewardship is much broader and deeper than encouraging people to give more money or to do more. And the purpose is to help us as followers of Jesus understand the biblical principles for managing all that God has entrusted to you, to me. Whether that's our time, talents, treasure, and the gospel, and how stewardship is an integral part, in fact, of discipleship. Stewardship reflects a heart that is transformed by God's grace and generosity. Just as God's generosity toward us is extravagant you and I, as followers of Jesus, are called to reflect that same kind of unexpected, selfless love for others. God's generosity to you and I as flawed, sinful humans is not stingy. He doesn't hold anything back. Stewardship is not just about doing or giving more. It's about understanding and responding to the generosity of our God. In 1 Peter 4:10, Peter says, as each one has received a special gift, again, each one of us, at very least, has received at least one gift. And he says, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. This passage makes something very clear, is that we all have our gifts, our resources, and even our strength, and it comes from only one place, and that place is from God. Until you and I fully understand and cling to the manifold grace of God, we will cling to our own resources and abilities. If we don't fully and completely understand what it is that God has done for us, the grace and mercy that he has extended to us, we will cling to our own resources and our own abilities. This grace is not that he gives, is not simply a theological concept. It's the foundation for everything that we do as his stewards. When we grasp God's grace and generosity, it transforms how we live and how we give. And when I say give, that doesn't solely mean that about giving money. It's about giving of ourselves. It's about giving up the right to our resources. And we see this most beautifully illustrated in Luke 7:36 to 50, because we see a heart of two contrasting stories. We see a woman's generosity. This woman, she's overwhelmed with the depths of God's forgiveness and grace. And so she takes this costly perfume that cost her probably about a year's wages, is what they tell us, and she pours the whole thing on Jesus' feet. And then she takes her hair and she wipes his feet with her hair. She gives extravagantly. And she's not giving out of obligation, but out of a heart that is transformed by the gratitude and grace of God. Her actions demonstrate that when we understand God's grace, generosity naturally overflows. Simon, on the other hand, Simon's there as well, and he has a little bit of a lack of generosity. Simon, on the other hand, represents a heart still clinging to its own resources and self-righteousness. No, he's there. He's in the presence of Jesus. But his lack of generosity reveals that he hasn't yet grasped the depth of God's grace, because he doesn't understand. He does not understand what this woman just did. God's generosity calls us to live and give like him. This story is a reminder that our stewardship flows out of our understanding of God's manifold grace. The gifts that we have are from God. The strength that we use to serve is from God. And the resources that we manage are from God. God, the ultimate model of generosity, reveals this not through obligation or transaction, but as an overflow of his nature as a loving and gracious Father. His generosity is woven into the fabric of creation, offering us countless reminders of his care, his creativity, and his provision. The evidence of God's generosity begins with creation itself. In Psalm 24, verses 1 to 2, says, it says this, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded on the seas and established it on the waters. God's generosity is revealed in creation and extends beyond creation's beauty to its sustenance. He provides abundantly for our needs, from the life-giving rain to the variety of fruits and grains and other foods that nourish us. But his provision doesn't stop at survival. His generosity brings delight. There's the sweetness of fruit, the refreshment of cool water, and the savory saltiness of bacon. And I said bacon, but I want you guys to come back because now you're thinking bacon. But that's the beauty of what God has given to us. But it reminds us, all of this reminds us that God gives us not only what we need, but also what brings us joy. His care is both practical and personal, inviting us to trust in his goodness. He is a good, good father. Creation is a masterpiece, is God's masterpiece that highlights God's abundant care and intentionality. The diversity of the ecosystems, the rainforests, the deserts, the oceans, the tundras reflect his provision for all forms of life. And beyond function, creation overflows with beauty, the grandeur of sunsets, the delicate intricacies of flowers, the majesty of mountains, and the awe-inspiring depths of the ocean. Or if you travel in the desert in Arizona, we traveled for a little while in the desert of Arizona. You see the beauty of the desert, and then you see the beauty of the Grand Canyon. Staring down into this beauty of God's creation is overwhelming and awe-inspiring. These are not merely practical, but speak of God's creative generosity designed to inspire wonder and joy. And just as God's generosity toward us is extravagant, you and I, as followers of Jesus, are called to reflect that same kind of unexpected, selfless love to others. In his book, Everybody Always, Bob Goff shares a story about his friend Carol, who is battling cancer. And Carol is Bob's neighbor, lives across the street. She's a widow, and Bob and his wife, they've been caring for her ever since she moved in. But Carol had always dreamed of being in a parade. So Bob decided to make it happen. He rented a parade float, gathered friends and neighbors, and organized a small parade through Carol's neighborhood, just for her. They laughed and cheered and celebrated Carol's life in a way that she would never forget. And they did this every year for years until finally the last parade that she saw was from her window in a wheelchair, and she died just a few weeks later. And they redirected the parade route so it would come right past her house, and 500 people in that neighborhood and other neighborhoods gathered together on that lawn, and she was able to wave at them. But Bob's story reminds us that generosity isn't always practical or ordinary. Sometimes it means going out of our way to bring joy to someone else. God's generosity calls us to live and give like him. God is the ultimate model of generosity, and his generosity towards us becomes the foundation. His generosity towards us becomes the foundation of our stewardship. And God's ultimate generosity is revealed through the gift of himself in Christ. The same God who intricately designed and sustains creation also provides for us through his incarnation, his sacrifice, and ongoing presence. This profound generosity transforms how we understand his faithfulness and faithfulness and provision, grounding us in the truth of the gospel. Creation calls us to worship a God who gives abundantly. But it is in Christ that we see the fullness of his love and generosity. God's generosity begins with the incarnation, where he gave himself to us. Jesus stepped into our brokenness. He stepped into this sinful world, not as a distant benefactor, but as Emmanuel, God with us. Philippians 2, 6, and 7 describes this divine act of humility. It says, Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. This is the heart of God's generosity, relational, personal, and sacrificial. By entering our world, Jesus demonstrated a love that chose to dwell among us, sharing in our joys, in our sorrows, in the hardships that we go through. And God's generosity is displayed even more vividly in Christ's sacrifice. At the cross, we see the depths of his love as he gave his son to bear our sins and to reconcile us to himself. Romans 5, 8 proclaims, but God shows his love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This was not a costless act. It was the ultimate gift, freely given to bring us peace and healing, to bring us back into that relationship that was severed by sin. As Isaiah 53, 5 declares, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. By his wounds, by his scourging, we are healed. The cross is the ultimate picture of divine generosity. A Savior who paid the highest price to bring us life. Isn't that an incredible picture of the generosity of God? And yet, God's generosity didn't end at the cross. It continues through Christ's ongoing provision in us. Through his resurrection, the gift of the Holy Spirit, God gives himself to us to dwell within us. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So Paul was saying, when I died to the old self, Christ now lives in me. This indwelling present transforms our lives, drawing us into a new relationship with God as his children, as his heirs. Ephesians 1:5-7 reminds us that in love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches, to the generosity, to the abundance of his grace. God's generosity doesn't stop at forgiveness. It brings us into his family and pours out the riches of his grace. 2 Peter 1:3-4 assures us that his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Through Christ's ongoing work in our lives, we experience the fullness of his generosity, becoming recipients of his divine nature and abundant provision. This extraordinary generosity is unique because it's not just about what God gives. It's also about how he gives himself to us. His incarnation, sacrifice, and ongoing presence invite us into a life transformed by his love, a life marked by worship, gratitude, and a call to reflect his generosity to the world. That's our responsibility.
as followers of Jesus, to reflect his generosity to the world. And perhaps one of the most unique aspects of his generosity is that God invites us into partnership with him. God's generosity calls us to action, inviting us, you and I, followers of Jesus, to participate in his mission and reflect his heart. As stewards of his resources, our time, talents, treasures, and the gospel, we're called to use our gifts to bless others, advance his kingdom, and demonstrate gratitude for his provision. When we give, when you and I give generously, we mirror God's gracious nature, revealing his love and grace to the world. It's sharing the gospel to the world. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 to 11 reminds us that God supplies abundantly so we can abound in every good work. God gives us everything we need to accomplish his good work. And we need to remember that our contributions, though they seem limited, are multiplied by God's power, ensuring eternal impact. That's why our gifts, no matter how small, our service, no matter how small, will be multiplied by the God of the universe. Generosity not only meets needs, but also inspires others to glorify God, allowing our actions to point people to Jesus, to God, to his goodness, to his generosity and love. This call is, and it's more than just a duty, it's a privilege. It's a privilege. We need to consider it a privilege to partner with God in his redemptive work, trusting him to use our efforts for his purpose and glory. And sometimes it's hard to understand, like the lady that who poured this costly perfume on Jesus, but it was her act of worship. But it was to bring glory to God. In December of this year, some friends of ours saw a post on some kind of social media platform asking for help. We need help. There's a couple from far away. They were traveling in a motorhome, and they were stranded in Saskatoon with a blown engine and needed help. Seeing this post, I don't know why. I do know why. Our friend responded to this post, but it began a three-week journey with this couple that was traveling in our area and got stranded in our area. There was searching for a new engine, searching for options. There was installing a new engine into this motorhome. And then once the motorhome was fixed and on the road, a problem arose, and so they phoned back and came back, and so there was some more work done. Now, for the 3 weeks that they were here initially, before they had headed out on the road, they were staying at a place in Saskatoon for 3 weeks. And they had left their home as they began their journey. But now it's getting close to Christmas, just before Christmas. And they're having more trouble, and they said, well, come on over, we'll have a look at this thing. And now it's getting late and they need a place to stay. And they said, this friends of ours, they said, well, why don't you just stay with us? Here was an opportunity where they spent 3 weeks with a couple they did not know. They spent time looking for an engine, driving to, picking them up, driving them to another place. Their engine's blown. They don't have a way of transportation. Picking them up and driving them to the next place and looking for all of these things. There was a lot of things that were happening in this time. And then it was Christmas and they invited them to stay for night. But it also gave opportunity to cook a meal together and to share the gospel, to share the love of Jesus, the extravagant love of Jesus with this couple. And they went on their way. God's generosity calls us to live and give like him. And I share this story not to bring glory to our friends, but because it speaks of the generosity of God and how we are able to reflect that, how this couple was able to reflect that in word and in deed. This relationship, I would imagine, will probably go on for a long time, and the seed that was planted will probably be watered over time, and we will trust that God will multiply that. God's invitation to partner with him in generosity is both a privilege and a responsibility, and it costs us. But it leads to eternal impact and glory for his name. What might it look like for you to apply Jesus' model of stewardship and generosity in this coming week, in this coming year, in the coming years? For some, you may have to start by trusting God. Stewardship has to begin by trusting God. Our faith in God shapes how we manage his gifts. Stewardship is simply about managing absolutely everything that God gives to us. And so we need to begin by trusting him. And it will transform our stewardship from obligation to worship when we trust God fully. Trusting him as our provider allows us to steward, manage his resources with wisdom, generosity, and purpose, reflecting a heart aligned with God's priorities. And then whatever you offer, trust God to use it beyond what you and I can see. Be faithful with what he's entrusted to you. And just leave him to the results. No idea what will become of this. No. Or perhaps some of you need to start to surrender your resources to God. This week, I invite you to spend time in prayer, asking God to show you how to release your grip on your stuff. Oh my goodness, that's hard. Oh my goodness, that is so hard to release the grip on our stuff. God, give me strength to view all you have trusted me with, whether little or lot, to view it as yours. And maybe you do one or you do all three of these things. And then thirdly, how do we view all the stuff that we have with an open hand and just allow God the blessing of giving? Our friend in that story struggled a little bit with a lot of this generosity that was happening that they were involved in. Invite complete strangers into my home, but later said this: I almost missed the blessing of sharing my home and Jesus. Isn't that incredible? I almost missed the blessing of sharing my home and Jesus because it was incredibly uncomfortable. It was incredibly generous. It was incredibly out of the ordinary. Let's go beyond words and live generously, because our goal, our aim, is pointing others to God's abundant love. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would help us to understand the level of generosity that you have given to us in creation, in your Son, in his death, burial, and resurrection for our salvation. Oh God, teach us to grasp the depths of your grace, to understand the depths of your generosity, so that we too may reflect and live lives that are generous to the world. Father, thank you for the abundance that you have given to us. May we honor and glorify you with our generosity, with love and care. Above all, may we have hearts that love one another. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.